Okay. Ruch Mabayim to, was this our fourth week, Baruch Hashem?
Could be.
So we're going a month strong, Baruch Hashem. So, let's learn about the Akedah. Obviously, one of the most central episodes in this week's Parsha. So, we spoke about the Rebbe Melech and Noam Melech and how the Noam Melech, the Rebbe Melech being one of the Talmidim of the Zvitzer Magid, probably considered the successor of the Zvitzer Magid in Galicia, and he was called by the Belzer of the Rebbe Finale Rebbes because most of the Hasidic dynasties that we know of today, the most famous ones, Bob of Tzanz, Satmar, Ger, all of them somehow trace their lineage, Vizhnitz, back to the Rebbe of Melech. Whether it's literally through his direct Talmidim or his Talmidim's Talmidim, most of it goes back today to the Rebbe of Melech. So, the Rebbe of Melech, as what the teaches on the Akedah, as I said, most of the things we'll be learning in Chassidus are metaphorical, which means that we won't go into Pshat too much at all. We'll quote the Pasuk and use it first to go into the ideas. And even if we do discuss the Pesukim, it's not going to be B'derech HaPshat. So it says, V'hineh Ha'esh, V'Eitzim, V'ayah HaSela Oila, we're by the Akedah. Avram and Yitzchak went off together to the Akedah. And Yitzchak pointed out to his father, you know, V'hineh Ha'esh, I see you have fire. V'Ha'eitzim, and I see you have wood. V'ayah HaSela Oila, where's the offering itself? Where's the sin? God will see to it that we'll have a seh. Chazal darshan from that seh b'ni, that you'll be the oila, and he was telling him, you know, what he would find out soon enough. So the Rebbe Melech kvar diktiku kamoi madua miyaches ha'akeda la'avram lo Yitzchak. A well-known question that the Mefarshim ask, why is it that we call this Akedas Yitzchak, right? But when we talk about the Nisyonis that Avraham Avinu went through, the Akedah is considered his central Nisayon. So Chazal tell us that Yitzchak wasn't a little boy. He was a teenager. He willfully participated in the Akedah. If so, then the Akedah was just as much a Nisayon for Yitzchak than it was for Avraham. So why is it that it's considered the pivotal Nisayon from Avraham Avinu, yet it's called Akedas Yitzchak? Who is the credit going to? Is the credit going to both of them? It seems like the credit's going almost totally to Avraham Avinu. Why is that? V'nir lefaresh dine be'emes Avraham v'Yitzchak yadu shelo haya das HaKadosh Baruch Hu shachta. So Rebbe Melech says that it was clear to Avraham and Yitzchak, they were Nevi'im, they were prophets, it was clear to them that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not actually wish Yitzchak to be shechta. V'Avraham sheh midas midas chesed halach b'vitchoinei sheyeshuvu shneihem. Avram, whose mida, whose attribute was chesed, Avram's whole mida was ava and chesed, doing acts of loving kindness for other people, he had total bitachon in Hashem that he wasn't going to be forced to transgress that mida of chesed by shechting his own son. He was sure they would come back together. Kmo she'amra, as it says in the pasuk that he said to the Ne'arim, v'nishtacha v'v'nashuva lechem, he said it in plural. He said, we're going to go back to Hashem and we're coming back. He didn't say, I'm coming back, which proves that he thought they were both coming back. Rak she'afal pikin hayu holchem b'mesirus nafshem ki'ilu ishchot osa be'emes. However, even though Avraham Avinu knew, and Yitzchak Avinu knew deep inside, that they were not going to shecht him, still they went to the Akedah with mesirus nefesh as if that was going to happen. V'zev v'yares hamakom mirochlik. Perush hamakom remez agam she'Hashem roye she'yotze mimenu Yaakov. Sorry, she'haya roye she'yotze mimenu Yaakov. She'nemar bo v'yifka b'makom. What does it mean v'yares hamakom mirochlik? So the Rebbe Melech learns that makom here is a remez to Yaakov. By Yaakov Avinu it says v'yifka b'makom. It says v'yifka b'makom that Yaakov Avinu davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's called, and Kadosh Baruch Hu there is called Hamakom. Yaakov was metaken tefilas arvis, and therefore When it says v'yivka b'makom v'yalan shom, that's referring to Yaakov. So when it says v'yaris ha'makom merachok, when it says about Avram Avinu that he saw the makom from a distance, literally pashiv shad and pasuk means that he saw the place where they're going to do the akedah from a distance, from afar. But the drush is that he saw in Nevuah, he could see that he was going to have a descendant in Yaakov who would establish Tfilas Maariv. That's what he means v'yaris ha'makom merachok. So again, he knew that he would have children through Yitzchak. Yitzchak's going to survive. That he distanced himself from that thought. Even though he thought in his nevuah that I'm still going to have descendants through Yitzchak, Yitzchak's going to survive, we're going to come back. He distanced that thought from himself and concentrated on what he had to do at the task at hand, which was to go with Mesiras Nefesh to the Akedah as if it's going to happen. When Yitzchak said, "Here is the fire and here are the trees," now I see here before me the trees and the fire because you've done what you're supposed to do. In other words, you've brought yourself, Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak, they've brought themselves to the Akedah, knowing that they're going to sacrifice something. They don't know what it is, because they know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to ask them to shecht Yitzchak. They know that they've done their part, and therefore asks Yitzchak, "I see that you've done all the things that you need to do. You have everything prepared." If you're ready and prepared, if you have everything set up, where is the set? Where is the offering? So we said Avram is going with his Midah. Avram is Midas HaChesed. Avram is the epitome, the symbol of loving kindness, of acts of kindness, of Chesed. But Yitzchak is the symbol of Gvura. The Sfarim tell us that Yitzchak's entire Midah was Yira and Gvura. That's why when it talks about Yitzchak, it's called Pachad Yitzchak in the Pasuk. So what is it that Yitzchak was doing? He was going in his Midah, in Gvura. Yitzchak's looking at Avram and saying, "You're ready. You have everything ready. You have the trees ready. You have the fire ready. Where is the set? Where is the offering? I'm going to be that offering. I'm ready. I'm willing. I'm willing to become ashes." Because Yitzchak knew that what we call the symbolism of Yitzchak's ashes, we mentioned that in the liturgy of the Tfilos during Yom Nirayim. Eifro Shel Yitzchak, it's mentioned in the different piyutim, it's mentioned in the Tfilos that we say about the Akedah. Even though Yitzchak wasn't actually physically burned, and he wasn't turned into ashes, and it was the isle that was burned instead of him, however, because Yitzchak was willing to sacrifice himself, we consider it as if his ashes are on the altar forever. And therefore, when we speak about the sacrifice of Yitzchak, we refer to Yitzchak's ashes as if Yitzchak's ashes are there. So Yitzchak was willing and ready to do that. V'yomer Avram, az yireh haseh. When will the seh appear? When will the offering really appear? Kashiyilo oyla b'ni. When you're ready to sacrifice yourself, that's when we'll see the actual offering appear. Ritzon Lomar, what does that mean? You are willing to sacrifice yourself. You're going with gvura. I'm going with ava and chesed. I don't want to sacrifice you. You're going with your mid of gvura. You're willing to sacrifice yourself. When you fulfill that completely, that's when we'll see the offering. Lo yireh haseh ad shetale agab emezbeach. You want that your ashes should be ready as a sacrifice for Klal Yisrael forever? That's not going to happen until you actually put yourself on the altar. Once you allow yourself to be bound on the altar physically, not just your hachana, not just your desire in your capacity, in your mind to be willing to sacrifice yourself. Once you do something about it, that's when we'll see the set. It's necessary for me to take you and actually physically bind you on the altar. But you have to stretch out your neck, and then that's when we'll see the set. So our question in the beginning was, why is it that we call this Akedas Yitzchak, but we call it Avram's Nisayon? So the Rebbe Meir says the reason is because Avram Avinu was the one who explained to Yitzchak what he had to do. Avram's Nisayon was that he should explain to Yitzchak, "I know that you're willing to sacrifice yourself. It's not enough to be willing to do it mentally. You have to be willing to give yourself up literally."
Sorry.
Yes.
Is there a, sorry for interrupting. Is there any purpose for this? Can we close it or something? Because it's just kind of giving unclean air, stale air, kind of.
It's like noises.
Yeah. If you open the window,
sure. I miss the fresh air.
Is it just throwing dust?
Yeah.
So he's saying they both knew in different ways that it wasn't going to have to happen?
I don't think Dafka in different ways. They both had different midos, but they knew, because of their prophecy, their being Nevi'im, they knew somehow that it wasn't going to be a real Akedah.
But he still had to go through
it. Right. So we'll explain in a second why that is. But what you're seeing here from the Rebbe Melech is explaining that Avram was the one who had to explain to Yitzchak, it's not enough your desire, it's not enough your mental willingness, your ratzon is not, you have to do something about it. You have to actually put yourself on the altar, allow yourself to be bound, stretch at your neck, be ready for that to happen. What the Rebbe Melech is saying is basically like this. You have something that's called potential. And we'll see that in the next piece also. We're going to learn another shtickle. And everything that's bekoyach in potential is great. But as long as it stays that way, it's not effective. Potentially, Yitzhak was willing to be an offering. But Avram is saying to him, Avram is saying to Yitzhak, it's not enough that potentially you're willing to be offered, you have to offer yourself. It's not enough to have the desire, the will, you have to actualize it. You have to take your potential and make it actual, put it into action, do something with it. And I think it's true in everything that we do in our lives, b'chlal. We all have different potentials, we have different talents, we have different capabilities, and potentially we can all be great. But the question isn't what we potentially can be. The question is what we do about it, what we actualize, what we take in our potential and make it real.
Did you like compare it maybe to a soldier? You know, you have soldiers, the soldiers are training and training.
Right.
But as soon as they cross the border and go into a status of war,
right,
they come to decide that they might have to sacrifice themselves.
Correct. 100%. I would take it even, the marshal, I'd take it even another step further. There are soldiers that are trained in combat. Some soldiers are trained in hand-to-hand combat. Some soldiers are trained in artillery. Some soldiers are trained in the Air Force. Some in the Navy. Each soldier has his specialty that he's trained in. And it's all theory. Until it comes to pass. And once it's actualized, whatever potential he has, it becomes real. You know, the same thing when a person builds physically their body. I always have muscles, potentially. They're there, right? But until you work them and do something with them, they're just there. When a person actualizes and works on himself, begashmius and baruchnius, obviously it's the same thing. And once you do something about it, that's when it changes. Let's learn another shtick from the Rebbe Melech.
I'm sorry, I don't understand how he had explanation of Abraham explaining to Yitzchak what
right.
Yitzchak was already ready to do. How does that take us closer to understanding why it is Abraham's Nisayon and not
so the Rebbe Melech's understanding is that it's called the Akedas Yitzchak, but credit is given to Avram because without him, Yitzchak wouldn't have fulfilled his potential. But Yitzchak's ready to sacrifice himself. But that's not enough, and Avram is telling him, listen, it's great that you're ready. It's great that you have potentially the desire, the will. It's not enough. You have to put yourself down, allow yourself to be bound, lie down on the altar, stretch it. You have to do it. And once you do it, then the seh will appear. Then the real offering will happen. It's not an offering in here. It's an offering that you have to do. And until you do it, it's not enough. It's not a real offering. And that's what Rebbe Melech is saying. Therefore, it's credit is given to Avram, because without his eitzah to Yitzchak, it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have been a true offering. Because it's not enough that it's in potential.
But how does that make it Avram's test?
Hmm?
I understand why it's Avram's credit.
Right.
I don't understand why it's thought of as like the ultimate test for Avraham if, as the Rav said at the beginning of the shiur, Yitzchak was ready, willing, and able from the beginning.
Right.
How do we get any closer to that being a test for Avraham?
Test to Avraham? I don't know if that exactly was the question. What was the question? It doesn't say why it was the Akedah more of a Nisayan. is why is the Akedah considered Avraham's Nisayon rather than Yitzhak's Nisayon?
In other words, why is he getting credit at all?
Right, why is he getting credit at all?
Okay, good.
So, let's learn it. This is the Rebbe Meir. Oyomar Perush Pesukim Derech Chacha. Let's learn it a little bit of a different way. D'chor Yesh L'daktek. V'pasuk Yom Yitzchak. Hine Ha'esh Ve'etzim Rama Omar Behe Yediyah. So the Rebbe Meir is making a diuk in Lashon. Saying Hine Ha'esh Ve'ha'etzim. In the grammar, in Lashon Kodesh, when you have a hey, it's called hey hayedia. It means the specific one. So Yitzchak is asking Avraham, he's not saying hine eish ve'etzim. He's not asking why. Why is there trees and fire? He's saying, why have you brought the trees and the fire? So what does that mean, asked the Rebbe? What specific trees and specific fire are you referring to? Just trees and fire. Why using hey hayedia? Why using... the hay is supposed to symbolize the trees, like specifically those. What's so special about these? So, Hayaloymar Hine Eish Ve'etzim. Why is it Ha'esh Ve'ha'etzim? So, answers the Rebbe Meir like this: Achnira Dine Oid Yeshlohavin, Lama Hayalol Avram Likach Eitzim Mibeso Vases Hamas Azos Derech Shlosh Yamin, Vichila Haya Eitzim Bechola Derech Hase. So, Rebbe Meir asks a simple question: why is it that Avram Avinu went and chopped wood and carried it for a 3-day journey? Didn't he really think that he wasn't going to find wood all the way over there? Is that really why he had to carry the wood for 3 days?
Well, that's not such a question, because possibly like he didn't want his sheep to be grazing on places that didn't belong to him. Maybe he didn't want to chop down wood that didn't belong to him.
I guess that's possible, but generally speaking, I think that most of the stuff in the Midbar was heftier.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't belong to anybody. So I don't think that was the problem of ownership. Although it's not a bad, it's a good try for an answer. But I think that the path where they are seems to be like not belonging to anybody. It seems to be a where everything is just available. But nonetheless, the point is, why chop the wood now? Why not wait till you get there? Why do you have to carry wood with you for 3 days? And if you tell me, okay, Avraham Avinu really was worried that maybe when he gets there he's not going to find any wood. That's the answer. It doesn't just say that he gathered them, he chopped them up and made them ready. I mean, you could gather the stumps, take them with you, and when you get there, chop them up. Why are you doing all the work now? Why did he do the work now? Also, why did Yitzchak ask again with the hey idea? Why? Where is the set? Just ask. Where's the offering? Like, again, what the Rebbe Melech is making you can hear is everything seems to be specific. There's this fire and this wood and this offering. What is the pasuk trying to tell us? What is the Torah telling us by adding these letters hey that are symbolizing something specific? What is the hint? What is the remez here? So it says like this: Acha inyan hu, dehine aboyer baruch hu baruch shmi yisala sheki d'shem mitzvos yivanu lekayim mitzvos. Kach Baruch commands to do mitzvos. Ein sorach lo yisboyer chasias mitzvosav. God doesn't need us to do mitzvos. God doesn't need anything from us. God is complete without us doing mitzvos. It's not a need that He has. However, Kadosh Baruch Hu is pleased when He commands us and we fulfill His will. It's pleasing to Him. He gets a nachas from it. So it's not that it's something that Kadosh Baruch Hu needs it. Kadosh Baruch Hu desires it, and He has a nachas and reach nichoch from it when we fulfill His will. She'ikar rotzon aboyre, she'yir la'adam rotzon mala v'shalom la'asos ritzono. What is the will of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? That we should want it. It's not that we should do it because he told us to, and like it's the most difficult burden that we have, that we're forced, that we're commanded, and we treat the mitzvahs as something unpleasant that we have to get through. You know, the many different people always say that there's two different ways of looking at Yiddishkeit. You can look at it as the 613 opportunities for growth and opportunities for learning and opportunities to reach higher and connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and opportunities for Simcha and for Avodas Hashem and for Dveikus and all these wonderful things. Or you can look at it as something like this 613 obligations, like an obstacle course. Like, how can I get through my day I really want to do all these things today, but it's just I have all these obstacles in the way. I gotta get to work, but I have Shacharis to get through first. So let me get through Shacharis, and once I'm getting through Shacharis, I can eat breakfast, and then I can get to work. And on the way, I'd like to stop by the bank and take out some money, except that I don't have any money. I'd really like to go and do this and steal, but I'm just not allowed to steal someone. Like, everything is like some kind of an obligation. I'd really like to eat this food. It's just that it's not my hechsher, it's not kosher, it's like everything becomes like a burden, an obstacle. Like, really, I want to do all this stuff. I can't do it the way I want to, because what can I do? This? I'm Jewish and God made all these obligations for me. It's such a different way of looking at the Torah and looking at the mitzvahs. Really, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us is obviously the first way, that we should attach ourselves to Him and grow through the Kiyum of Torah mitzvahs and enjoy it and love it and do it because we want to. And not because we're forced to, not because of the burden. Therefore we say what Chazal always say, Rachmana liba boy, God wants our heart. Everything is going after our heart. What our heart's desire should be to connect to Hashem, Torah, mitzvahs, all these things. And if a person has in mind in his heart to fulfill the Torah and the mitzvahs, with complete desire and will, once you have that kavanah, Hashem considers it as if you've already done it. We know the Chazal always say that if a person tries to do a mitzvah, venenas, and he was stopped somehow, he was under duress. Something person wanted to do a mitzvah, but something stopped him. You know, he wanted to go and do a mitzvah bikur cholim. He goes to the car, and it doesn't start, and it's far away. It's in a different city. He has no other way of getting there, and he wasn't able to do it. Hashem considers it as if he did that. A person wants to daven, and he fell asleep. He didn't mean to fall asleep. He fell asleep. He wakes up. It's the morning. He missed Ma'ariv. What is he supposed to do? The answer is, you're nanas, oinus. Oinus Rachmana Patrick, Kadosh Baruch Hu patters you, but not just that. Ma'ala kasav ki'ilu asa. The Kadosh Baruch Hu considers it as if you did that mitzvah. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu wants our heart. He wants us to desire to do it. And the minute a person has the full will and desire to do it, it's considered as if he did it. Now, even though we say that Kadosh Baruch Hu considers it as if you've done the mitzvah, you still have to do it. You can't say, oh, listen, I want to daven more, so it's okay, I just davened, you know, because I wanted it. We know that you have to actually, like we said, you have to actually actualize it. It's not enough to just want it. It's not enough to just desire it. Even though Kadosh Baruch Hu considers that sufficient, really, in the world of action, in the world that we live in, you still have to do the ma'aser. It's not enough to have it b'machshava. Because he built the shari la'adam shi'amod al kavanaso bebir shi'e kavana shleima baratzon b'leh. And the Rebbe Melech explains why. Because in our world, until you do something, it's impossible for a normal human being to say, I had it in mind completely. How many times do we come up with an idea of something that we want to do? We end up not doing it. We end up somehow changing our minds, a different idea comes to mind. Something a person naturally, until he goes about his life and does something, when you have it in mind, it doesn't always come to be fulfilled. And therefore, because we know there's all kinds of things that can prevent a person's thoughts and desires from being actualized, until he actually goes and does it, it's not considered as if it's done. Gam im yidamelu la'adam shekavanoso kavana shleima. And even if a person thinks, listen, I know myself. I know that when I want to daven, it's real. When I want to do this mitzvah, it's real. It's 100%. There's nothing doing. There's no ulterior motives, and I'm going to do it right. I'm going to do it for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't believe in yourself ever until you've actually done it. This is the nature of a physical body that we've been given. Our body, our physical being, prevents us from having the complete capacity to fulfill our thoughts and desires until we actually do them. As long as it's in potential, as long as we think we're going to do it, it's not enough. Something could stop us, and it could be ourselves. It could be our own. We just change our mind. Something made us change our mind. Ube'emes amru chazal, chosh la'asos mitzvah venenas la'asa ma'la kaski la'asa. The Chassidish Rebbe has said the story about many different Rebbe's that... I remember one, I think, from Reb Mendel Rimnever, that one time Reb Mendel Rimnever went to become Sandik by a bris, and something happened on the way. I don't know if the coach broke down or what, and it was really, really difficult to fix the axle, and by the time he got there, it was too late, and he missed out. And he was so happy, and he sat there with this unbelievable happiness. And throughout the whole Suda, he was so more than so than by any other bris that ever Chassidim said to him, Rebbe, you know, you missed the bris. Like, why are you so happy? He said, you don't understand. Every time I do a mitzvah, afterwards I think to myself, okay, I did the mitzvah. I tried and I thought maybe I did the mitzvah with all the proper intentions. But listen, I don't know, I'm just a human being. So like, I think that I have all the right intentions in mind, but maybe I messed up. But now, he says, Misha, whoever wants to do a mitzvah, ma'ala kasav ki'u asah. And the kasav, he knows all the kavanas. You know, when I try to do a mitzvah, I don't know all the kavanas. Whatever I know, I try to do. But now, it's as if I did it, ma'ala kasav, because Baruch Hu does it, considers it as if I did it. Because Baruch Hu knows all the kavanas. If he's the one who considers that I did it, I'm sure he made it, that I did it the right way for the first time, with all the kavanas and intentions I ever had to have. V'atam hu ki dechavarenu hanal. So Rebbe Melech, back to what we're saying, says the whole reason for everything is like we said before. Ikar kavanas halev, the ikar thing is our heart. And Abore Baruch Hu bochen avavos choker koyos yodeh machshavos ze'alim. Baruch Hu searches the heart, searches the innards of man. He knows what is deep in our hearts, what we want to do. Ratzon shalem choshev ki wasak. Hashem considers it as if we did it, even if we're not able to. So if we have a flesh and blood king, and he wants to test us, so he really has no idea what's in our heart. So when he tells us, listen, I want you to do this and that, and then we either do or don't do it, his test is a real test, because he can't know what's in our heart. If we fulfill it and do what he says, then it's proof that we're with him. And if we fail, then he knows that our hearts aren't with him. That's true when we're talking about a flesh and blood king who doesn't know what's in the hearts of his servants. Then there's a reason for the test. We just said a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows our hearts. We know that God knows everything. He knows the deepest insides of who we are, our deeper innermost feelings, our desires. He knows what's true. If we want to do this, he knows it. And if we were prevented by some outside force, he knows that too. And that's why he considers it as if it was done. That's the whole point we just made, that if a person tried to do something, and through no fault of his own, under duress he was prevented, Kadosh Baruch Hu considers it as if he did it, because Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that you had the mind to really do it, and you were prevented by some force that you couldn't control. So if God knows, what is he testing us for? What is the purpose of any nisayon? Right? When a teacher gives a test to her student, what is she doing? She wants to know, did he learn the material, did not learn the material? She can't know. She can't go into the child's mind and see. But Kadosh Baruch Hu can. What is he testing us for? What's the purpose? What, to know if we're going to succeed or not? God knows whether we can succeed. God knows whether we want to succeed or not. If we can't succeed because something will prevent us, then he considers as if we did it. And if we do succeed, he knew that ahead of time anyway because he knows the future. What's the purpose of any nisayon anyway? What's the reason for a nisayon? Why test us? What good is it? What does a Kadosh Baruch Hu gain from such a thing? If a person does a mitzvah and he doesn't have it in proper mind, he does it without thinking, without ava and yira, we know that the Zohar Kadosh says that ava and yira are like two wings. Every mitzvah has wings. And without those wings, a mitzvah can't soar up to the heavens. So it's said about the Baal Shem Tov that he once showed up at a shul, and he said, I can't go in. And they said, why? And he said, it's full of Torah and tefillah. And they're like, great, so that's a great shul, it's full of Torah and tefillah. He goes, no, you don't understand. All the Torah and tefillah that they do in this shul is so heavy. There's no life to it. The learning that's in here is no life to it. The davening that's in is no life to it. It's all stayed in the shul. It never went up. So there's no room for me to go in. There's a tefillah and a Torah that has life to it, that has ava and yira, that has wings that can fly and soar. So Kadosh Baruch Hu knows if a person did it like that or not. So we know ourselves, and we know that when a person tells us something and we like the idea, we get all excited about it. And it's a great idea, and you're on fire, and yes, I'm going to do this. And then a day goes by, and a week, and a month, and suddenly the idea doesn't seem to have the same appeal anymore. And little by little, that fire, that enthusiasm fizzles out until that fire grows cold, and then goodbye. That's human nature. In the beginning, things are exciting. In the beginning, things are enthusiastic. And later on, they cool off. I saw a very beautiful mashal from Rabbi Biederman. Rabbi Biederman said, I don't understand, he said, when you make a cup of coffee, so what do? You boil the water till it's boiling hot, then you add coffee, and then you add sugar or sweetener, and then you add milk, and you wait till it cools off, because you can't drink it because it's so hot. And you blow on it, or you wait, and when it's finally the right temperature, then you can drink it. I said, I don't understand. Why in the world do you do it that way? Why do you have to heat it till it's so hot that you can't drink it in the first place, then wait for it to cool? Just heat it to the temperature where you can drink it, and add all the stuff and drink it. Why do you have to blow on it and cool it off and wait? This is because everybody who knows, everybody who drinks coffee, everybody who drinks tea, knows that if you do it that way, it's not going to taste good at all. Either because the tea and the coffee aren't going to dissolve properly, or the sugar won't. It doesn't make a good cup of coffee. The way to make a good cup of coffee is to heat the water, boil it till you can't drink it, add the ingredients, mix them, and then wait for it to cool. That's just the way it is. It just doesn't taste the same. So with Avodas Hashem, it's the same way. In the beginning, you have to boil. You have to be excited. You have to have fiery enthusiasm. And then afterwards, even if you cool off a bit, it will still be the right temperature. It'll still have a good taste. But if you start off tepid, if you start off lukewarm and room temperature, it's never going to be the same way. You have to start with a brim, with a fire, with enthusiasm. And that's what we're saying. Hatzadik gomer esho yala machshav osoy v'retzoyin elasos mitzvah gam ken lefi godol tzidkasoy ken godol choshkoy tshukasoy b'chamimus hislavus esh Hashem tivarboy. When a tzaddik wants to do a mitzvah, his whole passion and desire burns like a fire within him to do the mitzvah. He's so excited. He's aflame. He's impassioned to do the mitzvah. B'tochen Hashem is the most possible way possible. V'zeh ha'kavanas Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was on that madrigal of a tzaddik. When the Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, go and bring an offering for me, Avraham Avinu was lit on fire with enthusiasm. He was so excited about doing the Ratzon Hashem. Whoa, you told me, of course I'm going to go do it. The enthusiasm, the fire was all there. So he said, as long as a person waits, the longer you wait, the more you cool off, the more the enthusiasm slowly, slowly dies out. Avraham Avinu knew that he was only human. And even though the fiery enthusiasm was there, he knows that it's going to happen. He thought, it's going to be great. I'm going to be so excited to do this. That's what he was afraid of Avraham. That's the fire that we were talking about in the beginning of the pasuk. That's ha'esh. Which fire? Not the fire that Avraham was carrying in the stick. Yitzchak could see on his father the fiery enthusiasm, the passion that he had to do the mitzvah. And he could discern that, he could see that on his father. And that's what he said. And Avraham Avinu said, you understand, I'm afraid that 3-day journey, I'm going to lose something of that enthusiasm that's burning within me. Abor Bibo. Therefore, Avraham Avinu said, he didn't wait 3 days. On the spot, he went and he did a maise. Because, like we said before, anything that's in machshava, as real as it could be, a machshava isn't actual. The olam machshava isn't. This world is a world of actions, and as long as we keep something in our minds and we don't actually do something about it, it's not enough. So what's going to happen? The enthusiasm is going to die. He's not going to have the passion. What did he do? Therefore, on the spot, vayivake atzah, he went and chopped the trees. He did an action. He took the hislavus, the passion, and the fire, and he did something about it. Pesetzner Rebbe says, sometimes a person has a hisoyrus. You're just doing something normal during the day, whatever it is. And all of a sudden you feel a hisoyrus happens. Sometimes you get like this fiery enthusiasm to do something for Hashem. Something inspires you. You read something interesting, or you heard something, or you read a story. Something inspires you. So if you don't do anything about it, that inspiration, what's going to happen to it? It's just going to fizzle out. It's just going to die. So the Piasetzner says, you know what you should do? You're full of enthusiasm right now. Maybe you can't do exactly. Maybe you're enthusiastic about a prayer rally in a week from now, and you can't go there now. So take Tillim and go in the corner and say a few kapitel. Take your enthusiasm and do something about it. If you take your enthusiasm and your passion for what you have for Yiddishkeit and do an action, something, now you'll keep it alive. You'll utilize it. It won't remain potential. It'll be real. And that's what Avraham Avinu was doing. He went and he chopped the trees on the spot. At the moment, he took the fire and he did something with it.
And
I can see that the fire of God is burning within you, the passion. And that's why he says, Ha'etzim. I see the fire. You know how I see the fire? Because of the trees. I know you don't have to carry trees for 3 days. I know that you must have had such a passion here, and you went and did something about it. Therefore, I want to know, where is Haseh? If you have such a fire enthusiasm, if you have such a fire enthusiasm now, why aren't you bringing an offering? Bring an offering now. Take an offering and burn it. Avram was saying to him, you also have to do that. It's not enough for me to do it, now it's your turn. That's what he was saying before about potential. It's not enough for me to take my fiery enthusiasm, to take my desire for actualizing my potential enthusiasm and passion and putting it into the trees. Now you want me to bring this out? You're the sacrifice. And for you to be the sacrifice, you also have to do something. And that's the power of actualizing our potential. We all have a potential, an enthusiasm, a ratzon, a tshuka. But without actualizing, without taking it and making a maaseh, it doesn't become real. It never actualizes.